From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Last month, two Muslim women in headscarves were barred from sitting behind Senator Obama's podium at a Detroit rally. A Pew Center poll recently found that 1 in 10 Americans believe Obama is a Muslim. The question we ask today is not just why so many Americans think wrongly that Obama is Muslim, but why they find that idea disturbing. What are the challenges facing the Muslim American community today, and how has presidential politics changed the dialogue? Joining us are Imam Zaid Shaker, a resident scholar at the Zaytuna Institute in Berkeley, California, and Julia Shearson, the director of the Cleveland, Ohio chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Imam, the Democratic presidential candidate repeatedly says during campaign speeches and interviews that he's a proud Christian, emphasizes that he is not a Muslim. Going back to that specific incident in Detroit, the Obama campaign apologized. But what did it show about politicians' view of Muslim Americans?
I think that it shows that politicians are aware of the fact that a lot of negativity has been generated around the Muslim community in America, and that it's politically tricky to be too closely identified with Islam or Muslims at the current time in the current political climate.
You yourself are a convert to Islam. What have you seen in terms of the way that Islam has been treated in the years since you converted?
Well, I think initially Islam was just another novelty, like Buddhism or Hinduism or the Hare Krishnas, or just a strange religion that some people, for reasons perhaps the average person can't understand, would embrace, but nothing threatening. I think with the demise of the Soviet Union and efforts on the part of some to find a new mega enemy out there, and then developments that led, for one reason or another, things we possibly might be able to discuss, with Muslims being identified, generally speaking, with terrorism in certain parts of the world where America has strategic interests, and with the idea of a rogue state. And these two political phenomena, the international terrorism, the rogue state, really taking the place of the former Soviet Union as the principal strategic threat to the United States, then I think that Muslims become painted with this broad brush and a lot of stereotypes are generated. And with the incidents of September 11th, 2001, I think that trend was accelerated. So the strategic interest, the strategic political identifying, if you will, that's generalized in terms of defining a foreign threat in the form of international terrorism, in the form of the rogue state, that came to be epitomized by bin Laden in terms of international terrorism, and Afghanistan under the Taliban in terms of the rogue state. Well, then Muslims in this country bear the residual impact of that.
Let me get Julia in on this. You know, Julia, I think that the Imam has laid out a very broad case of the geopolitics that come into this, but then there's also just the rumor mill. And a new Project for Excellence in Journalism study shows that stories about the rumor of Senator Obama's connection to Islam have actually increased in the past few months. What have you seen in terms of the dialogue that's going on around Islam in your community, among your friends? What have you seen happening?
Sure. Well, I think that's a really important question about dialogue. Muslims are part of the fabric of American life. We all know that there's no religious test for higher office. We know that America was established purposely this way by our founders. We know that there have been Muslims in America since 1320. There were Muslims coming on the ships that Christopher Columbus came in 1492. The Muslim voice has been part of the fabric of American life for a long time. And our voice and our insights, our opinions should be taken into account, particularly at a time when the United States has difficulty understanding the Muslim world. But I think the current constructs are very much artificial. Islam has always had a long tradition of interplay with the Western world, just been great collaboration over history. And I think that this dialogue that's happening in America is actually wonderful. And I see, this great dialogue or the dialogue of civilizations. I don't see it as a clash of civilizations. I see us going back to the period where, the Muslim world helped bring about the Renaissance in Europe. And I think that right now there's a tremendous chance for cooperation. Muslims in America should be taken by political leaders as advisors, as counsel. We understand America. Islam and democracy are highly compatible. We understand and love democracy. We're part of American life. And we also understand the Muslim world and the unique challenges faced in a shrinking world when there's competition over resources, when there's misunderstandings among cultures. Muslims are uniquely positioned to really help America, help the country we love, and help them to understand and get along well with the Muslim world. This current geostrategic problem and clash, it does not have to happen this way. Islam is very similar to Christianity and Judaism. It is not a strange religion. It is the religion of Abraham. It's the religion of Jesus, of Moses, of Job, of Jacob, of Isaac. These things are familiar. It's full stereotypes, really, that need to be overcome.
All right, Imam, let's go back to politics for a second. Last year, Senator McCain said in an interview that basically Christianity is key to American identity. He said, quote, "This nation was founded primarily on Christian principles. That's a decision the American people would have to make. But personally, I prefer someone who I know has a solid grounding in my faith." He's saying there, who do you want to lead America? How do you respond to a statement like that?
I think these are the kind of innuendos that have to be addressed. I don't agree naturally with anything that Julie mentioned. I just think it's very important for us to understand the climate that gives birth to the rumors, and sometimes that are statements that are sometimes innocently advanced in the media. For example, when Hillary Clinton's asked about Obama being a Muslim, and she says, "No, as far as I know." And that's conveyed to Americans, and so I think we really have to be very responsible. Politicians have to be responsible. The media has to be responsible. And I think this program is an excellent example of what it means to be responsible and try to present some clarity on the issue. In terms of what this country was founded on, this country was founded on individual freedom. It wasn't founded on a particular religion. If it were founded on a particular religion, the Constitution would clearly state that America is a Christian country and it's founded on Christian principles. It's founded on the principle of religious freedom. And religious freedom was defended by the founding fathers of this country. Benjamin Franklin argued that if the Mufti of Constantinople, who was a Muslim, were to come to Philadelphia, he should be given an audience, and he should be able to come to the center of this city and deliver his ideas and allow his ideas to be considered on their merit. So I think it's very important for us to understand that.
Well,
I
want to jump in, though, for a second. One thing that I think comes up a lot in America, and certainly has since, the founding moments of this nation, is what do you leave behind when you leave a nation? And Muslims in America are American-born, immigrant, both, different cultures. But in the case where people are coming from religious states, where their nation is a religious state, where Islam is the state religion, do you think that there's any, residual attachment to the idea that certain things should be the way Islam wants it as opposed to, the way...
Well, I think that's not the primary question here. I think the issue is every person has an attachment. If an Italian comes from Italy, they have an attachment to their Italian tradition. They still, if they're in America, they're still going to prefer to eat Italian food. They're going to prefer ravioli to cornbread and black-eyed peas. If a person comes from parts of Africa, Asia, there's going to be an attachment. But I think the question is, does a person Do individuals, do groups of people, generally speaking, accept the principles that are essential for the sound functioning of a pluralistic democracy? And Muslims, whether they come from Iran or Pakistan, or whether they come from a more secular state, such as Turkey or Tunisia, when they come to America, Muslims accept that, and Muslims are willing to participate in the life of this country as law-abiding, hard-working, educated citizens.
Now, look, I only have a little bit of time left, and I want to go to you, Julia.
Sure.
Senator Obama remarked in a speech at the Unity Convention this past weekend that, quote, "I think my credentials on supporting Muslim Americans are very strong." But do you feel that in his constant repetition of his Christianity, there is an implicit distancing from Islam?
Well, Senator Obama should be very proud of his faith, just as Muslim Americans are proud of their faith and Jewish Americans are proud of their faith. I think that what he needs to do at this point, he has now appointed a national coordinator for Muslim affairs, which is a wonderful new situation. We're very pleased at that. And what is important really for both candidates is to reach out to our community and to appoint qualified individuals from our community and from the diverse communities in America to sit at the table where substantive policy decisions are being made and to seek advice on the very important issues of current world affairs. I think that that's essential. So we would like to see substantive action really on behalf of both candidates. This is really about where are we taking our country?
We have to break it off here, but thank you so much, both of you, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Been speaking with Julia Shearson, director of the Cleveland, Ohio chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, and Imam Zaid Shakir, a resident scholar at the Zaytuna Institute in Berkeley, California.